Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah.
Ready for the podcast, GSM podcast. Doom, 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 doom. This should be our intro song.
That was pretty good.
This is the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
Hey, right. Guys.
Well, hello, everybody.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Welcome. Happy Thursday.
Thursday.
That's right. Welcome to another episode of the In Between Podcast. I am Adam.
That means I guess I'm Betsy.
I guess so. Just looking around, waiting for somebody else to introduce themselves. Maybe whenever we have a guest speaker, then we'll have...
Oh my gosh, we need a guest.
All right, if you would like to be a guest speaker on the In Between Podcast, please send inquiries to gsm@thechapel.life.
Oh my.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would actually be really fun.
A lot of really cool things happening this past week.
Relaunch.
One of them being relaunch. We had eighth graders back in the middle school room. That was really fun.
We had about
20 eighth graders and leaders, and it was just so good to see everybody. I could have stayed in here for like 5 hours, I think, and hung out with everybody. I had so much to say. I just wanted to just seeing everybody. It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. It was
fun just having like conversations with people, mm-hmm. like having like real conversations, like time spent to talk about good things that have happened and like also being honest about like the hard things that have happened. I think those are really good conversations to have with people and you need a little bit of space. To do that. So that was really nice that we got to have space to do that.
A little time to decompress. Seventh graders are coming back this weekend. And then on Sunday night is GSM After Hours.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited about.
I'm really excited.
That's for high school. And it's going to be here at the chapel at 6 o'clock. And really, really excited just to have high schoolers back in the building. To be able to have kind of our own high school worship service. So
I'm so excited.
I will definitely be there. I'm like, I don't think I'm up front or anything, but I'm just going to participate and like get after it. So
yeah,
worship's going to be fun.
Yes, I'm really excited about worship. I don't know what we're singing.
I don't even
need to do some snooping to see.
I know.
Figure
we
out.
We have access to like the worship forms. We guess we should
go snoop.
It's like looking for Christmas presents, but it's just like, that's the worship set.
That's the worship set. That's very true.
You're not supposed to know until you get there. It's a surprise.
Yeah, I guess.
How are you supposed to know if you're already prepared? How are you supposed to do it? Betsy, what was something really fun that you did this week? What was like, what's been a really good part of this past week
for you? Good part of this past week is... I just like having people over at my house.
That's right. You're in a new house.
New house. So I just enjoy having people like...
I-N-D-E-P-E. Independent.
I was like, what are you spelling?
I'm spelling independent.
I-N-D-P-E.
I-N-D-E. Anyways.
And I enjoy having people like over at my house. So it was just fun just relaxing and like just chilling with friends or just like even like hanging out at home with my roommates. Which are mostly my sisters, but then also my friend. What about you? What's one good thing that happened to you this week?
Man, one really good thing that happened this week, it was a funny thing. Yesterday, for those of you that don't know me, I have a 3.5-year-old and a 8-month-old child. But the 3.5-year-old, Leland, he has been having a problem keeping his pajamas on at night. He wakes up in the morning and they're just like on the floor. And so we're trying to tell him that he can have a sleepover at grandma's house, but only if he keeps his pajamas on. And so we told him that last night. And so I put him in bed and he had his pajamas on and I tucked him in and sang him a song, kissed him goodnight. And then like looks at me dead in the face and is just like, so when's grandma coming to get me? And I was like, no. If you sleep in your pajamas for a whole night, then... maybe we can have a sleepover at grandma's. And he was like, I spent 40 minutes in my 3-year-old room trying to explain to him that he first had to make it through the night with his pajamas on before we could then ask grandma for a sleepover. He was not understanding. This past Sunday, Colin Mattoon got to speak And he is our local church planner for planting the chapel in Perry. And that was just really, really cool to have him on Sunday. And he was just kind of trying to cast some vision on church planning, on why we church plant, on why we as the chapel, we spend a lot of our resources and our time focusing on planting churches. And it was just really, really good to have him here as he walked through the Great Commission, which is go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I've commanded you. And so that was just really good to have him walk us through that on the heels of Ryan 2 weeks ago talking about go and fulfill your ministry from 2 Timothy, and then Mike last week running through John talking about being continually fishing for men. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's just kind of like there's this vibe that we've had for the last couple of weeks of like, go do your like fulfill your ministry, catch like be fishers of men, and like go and fulfill the Great Commission. So it's like it's been no mistake that over the last 3 weeks there's been like this huge push to like go and be disciple makers. And so that's just been really cool to hear and to see Colin. It's funny, like Colin is like he's teaching in the main room. And this is like one of his first couple times teaching like in that space. And I feel like all of my first couple of times that I got to teach was like to middle schoolers. It was like a little bit more forgiving. So I don't know. I don't know if I was less nervous to teach to middle schoolers or if I've been more nervous if I like, can you imagine your first time teaching like in, would that it would be in the main room?
Terrifying.
Like I remember the first time you taught in the middle school room.
Do you?
I do.
Was that a long time ago?
It was
ago.
Like 3 years ago, three
right,
summers ago.
Yeah.
You were an intern.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah.
And so
I'm like,
you flip-flop.
What was I doing?
You don't even remember. How dare you?
I was the intern. I don't remember what I taught on.
It was a pivotal moment in my life. When you spoke, and you don't even remember.
I don't even know what I talked about.
You have to go back and look. We'll look at the archives.
No, yeah. It is intimidating and scary. I'm sure it would be nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But for middle school, you got to bring the jokes, though. So,
but you have to also assume that nobody's going to laugh at your jokes.
Yeah.
Like that's
and you have to be okay with that.
That's kind of how it rolls.
You have to laugh at your own jokes.
I know. Anyways, I don't want to think about how nobody laughs at my jokes. we've been talking, Betsy, a little bit about discipleship here and like what that looks like. I want to know, the question I have for you is, do you have anybody in your life that has discipled you? And so I'm asking you this, but also anybody who's listening, think about that. Is there anybody in your life that is somebody who you have gone to consistently that has discipled you? And there's a lot of questions around that of like, well, what is a disciple? What does it mean to be making disciples? Like, I feel like there's a lot to unpack there. But I first want to know, Betsy, if you have somebody in your life that you feel like you're just like, yeah, like this person discipled me in my walk with Jesus consistently. Who's like the first person that pops to your brain?
I feel like for the past year and a half, maybe 2 years, I would meet consistently with Becky Westfall.
Mm.
So we would meet and we would just like chat, and we had sort of this discipleship mentor relationship where I would kind of just like update her on my life, my week, what's going on, like what's going well, what's going wrong. And in the beginning it was a lot more structured, but I feel like now when we do meet, it's less structured. And even like now, I think, before I really knew a whole lot about discipleship, I assumed that it was always like a one-way street. Like it's one person who's older, wiser, whatever, pouring in to the other person. And after like learning more about discipleship from my dad, who's like a big discipleship guy, we go through this book about discipleship together called The Alongsider. And one of the things that was a big takeaway for me from that book and from meeting with Becky is like, it's a relationship and it's a two-way street.
Mm.
Like we both, Becky and I would say both pour into each other. Like, I feel like a big change has been, like, this past couple of months, she's asked me to hold her accountable to a couple of things.
Yeah.
Which has, like, been, like, a cool shift on, like, we're both, I don't know, growing together mm-hmm. in Christ. And it does, like, discipleship isn't just like one person is pouring into the other person. Like, sometimes you learn from the other person as well. Yeah. If that makes any sense.
No, that's good.
So yeah. I feel like that would be like one of the people that has been like really consistently. And like, honestly, I feel like a big part of my walk with faith has honestly been like you and Ryan. Because I feel like, we've worked together for like a long time in ministry. So I feel like ministry wise, that's been really helpful.
I feel like having somebody in your life who you can look at and say, like, this person is discipling me is important. I'd say that mine has been one of the guys that he was a middle school leader actually with us for a little while. His name's JP Fuller. And he is the bomb. And I still meet with him on the regular. And I remember asking him to like be like somebody who discipled me. Like, I actually actively sought that out. I think it was like 3.5 years ago now, maybe three. But just funny how we still meet like about every other Friday and just talk about life and talk about what God's teaching us. And he just asked me questions and it's really, really good. So it's interesting because I think we have this view of disciple making as like this impossible like thing to do with people that we know. But I think it's honestly just like, it's meeting together. It's having the Bible open between you. It's talking about his word. It's encouraging one another. It's asking each other good questions about, man, how's your walk? Where have you seen Jesus working in your life? What are some things he's challenging you with? Like, and just having open conversation and being honest about those things. It's been really good. So just doing life. So seeing Jesus move in all the spaces of our lives, with families and at school and at work and home and all that stuff. So
it's less structured and formal as one would think.
Yeah.
You know, it's about a relationship, and I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. I think the main reason I bring that up is just because as we talk about like church planning and those things, like, I think one thing that the past couple of months has really been like pressing on me and on most of us, and I think we've talked about this a little bit on here before, is just the idea that like church doesn't have to happen with like thousands of people gathered like in a big room, like in a big building. Like, there's a lot of the conversation that's going on like out in some other states, like California and stuff, with like really big churches where it's like, well, they can't gather however many thousands of people. And a lot of them they're saying like, well, we can't be the church if we can't do that. And it's just like, I would push back a little bit and say that, no, like, we're called to be disciple makers. We are called not to neglect to meet together or gather, but there's not like a, I don't know, there's not like a set number on that. That doesn't mean you can't meet in smaller groups or in pods or whatever you want to call them, like in a home. Or I think that's the funny thing too. Have you ever done like worship at somebody's house? Like, just like,
yes.
Yeah. Does it feel different than like in a church setting?
Yeah.
What about it is different for you?
It feels like much more intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels a little bit more like it sort of brings people closer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, because there's not a whole lot of places to hide, because I feel like in a church you can hide a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're like in a smaller group, it seems like, not that like you're on display, but like, I guess you just like can't hide or like fade into the background.
Yeah, the word that I think comes to my mind is like exposed.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's interesting that I think for a lot of us, especially, this is not no knock on like all men, but I think a lot of my guy friends, like the idea of like singing and like worship and all that is tough for them already, like in a big space, but like bring that into a living room and it's like, it almost feels like impossible. But it's interesting to think about like why that is. Like, I think it all comes back to like a pride issue a little bit, but then also like, what is worship and kind of along those lines. And, but just thinking about doing church or doing worship something in like a home setting, it's just interesting that I think we default to like, we need a building with lights and big sound and a band and all of those things. Like, if we take the instruments away, it like, would we still worship? Like, if what things do we have that, like, there's, I think there's two ways to look at it. Like, there are things that we do within, like, the church setting that we feel like can improve or just, like, help, honestly, just, like, lead worship well. But even, like, the why behind that, like, why do we use lights? Why do some churches use fog? Like, why do, like, is it because we are a little bit too in love with, like, the concert setting? Like, is that it? Or, so, I don't know. You take it all away and, like, strip it back and worship together just, like, in a home. Like, and I think the word exposed just, like, kind of bubbles to the top of my mind. So, it's just interesting. But thinking about how we so often are like, well, we can't, like, if we're not gathering, like, on a Sunday, if this isn't happening, like, if we get shut down again, if, like, another lockdown happens, let's say, like, what do we do? Like, it's that, like, will we, I think the first time that it happened, I think lockdown kind of in the last, like, couple months, like, everybody just was like, well, things will go back to normal. But now there's, like, I don't know, will this happen again? Like, is our society more open to, like, going into, like, some shutdown modes every so often now if there's, like, a bad outbreak of anything? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. But I think as the church, those are, like, good questions to ask, because it's just, like, are we still able to be disciple makers, like, outside of the building? Because that's honestly where most of it should be taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, just thinking about this call to disciple making over the last couple weeks and how we so often, like, making a disciple, whenever we say that, and it's like, well, how would you make a disciple? I think a lot of our first instinct, and some of the students that I've talked to about this, like, first reaction, honest reaction, is like, well, I bring my friend to church. Like, mm-hmm. I would invite them here, which isn't a bad answer. Like, it's good to come here and good mm-hmm. to experience corporate worship and see what that's like. And I think you can be encouraged by other believers around you, even if you have no idea what's going on, like, but just to see that, like, something is different here. But, like, then those conversations and all that, like, that should continue, like, outside of this building, like, on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. I feel like we just so often, like, assume that disciple making means, like, let me bring my friend to church and the pastor is going to speak to them and, like, present the gospel and maybe they'll get saved. Mm. Would you agree with that? Disagree?
I would agree. I feel like, I think a lot of times we just think that's the best thing that we can do is just bring our friends to church mm-hmm. because it sort of leaves a lot of responsibility on you off because you feel like you're supposed to bring them here and then, you know, that's it. You did your thing. They're going to accept Christ when they walk in the door.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And,
like, well, I tried.
Yeah.
Like,
that doesn't, like, really happen. It. And that's a good thing to be, like, to bring people to a small group or to church. I would argue that bringing someone to small group is a little bit better than bringing someone to just
a church service. I was legit going to ask you that question. I'm like, do you think a small group is a better space?
Yeah, because I think any way that you can cultivate a relationship and have actual conversations, I think mm-hmm. is the most important thing
yeah.
for bringing someone to Christ. And it's good to have people, like, because, like, with a small group, you're interacting with people more than rather on a Sunday morning. You're mm-hmm. usually just watching.
Yeah.
But, like, in a small group, you can, like, have conversations more with people and, like, feel more welcomed. I feel like you normally people would feel more welcomed in a smaller setting
yeah.
than just in a large group.
I agree. Yeah. Especially in, like, a really big church.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're in a – I think that – As like, for our kind of venue that we have here, like, I think a small group is a really good place to start somebody.
Yeah.
So.
And if you wanted to bring someone to church, like, then have a conversation about it after, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, what did you think? Or, like, go out to lunch and talk about it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there has to be more, like, investment in that person's life. It's not just like, hey, come to church. Oh, I saw you. Oh, it's great. Cool. Well, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Like, hope you come back next week. And just, like, create, like, a churchgoer and not a disciple of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's an interesting thing. But just thinking through, like, discipleship and disciple making and, like, just what it looks like to have those people in your life and to be bringing people to church, like, bringing them into the church, Big C Church, sorry, Yeah, like bringing them into God's kingdom. Like, what does that look like? What does it actually look like to be a fisher of men? What does it actually look like to fulfill your ministry? Like, to be fulfilling the Great Commission? Like, all of those things on a practical level, I think they look a lot different than what we often assume to be, like, evangelism and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I just feel like we need to rethink our idea of what it looks like to disciple or, like, to reach people for Jesus. So, and it's interesting because I think in some spaces, I think the words evangelism and discipleship are, like, two entirely different things, but I feel like they need to kind of cross over and, like, commingle a little bit.
Yeah.
Where evangelism is a little bit of discipleship. Here's one other good question that I have for you. Do you think that you can disciple somebody? Do you think somebody can be a disciple of Jesus without having a relationship with them? Or a relationship with Jesus?
You think someone can be a disciple of Jesus
without having a relationship with him yet? Like, could somebody be a disciple before they're saved?
Well, that's a good question. It would just depend on what you consider a disciple is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I would say no, because mm-hmm. of my understanding of what a disciple is someone who knows about Jesus and is following after Jesus. So yeah. It becomes part of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone can be a really good scholar of Jesus
mm-hmm.
and know about Jesus, but not have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
So I guess from my understanding of what a disciple is, I would say no, they can't be a disciple without having a relationship.
Yeah. Whenever Jesus asked the guys to get out of the boat and follow him, like, to come be my disciple, do you think at that point they were saved? That's, like, a really big, heavy question. And I don't know if there's a...
I think they made a step. I don't know if it was, like, a complete salvation thing.
Yeah.
I think they're making a good choice to follow and to learn about it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right, because, I mean, Judas was like, yeah, I'll follow you. Like, he left everything that he had and he followed him, just like the others.
Yeah, that's true.
And then later on was like, I'm out. So, I've wondered that. I don't have an answer for that. I've thought about that. But the disciple, I would agree with you that I think a disciple is somebody who knows Jesus already. I think prior to kind of that moment of salvation, like, I think you're taking steps towards him and you're learning probably about him. You're probably curious about who Jesus is, but I don't know if I'd call that a disciple. I think it's after. I think you become a disciple when you're like, yes, I'm giving my life to him and I want to follow him and I need him in my life. I need him to rescue me. Like, I think that's when it happens. So, I don't know. Good conversation. Good things to think about. I think the main kind of takeaway, I know that I feel like we kind of like rambled through a lot of this or whatever. And I just like, I think I got up too early. I don't know. But I think the main takeaway that I want to like kind of challenge anybody who listened to this, if you got through all of this, thank you. But just the question of like, who in your life are you discipling? Like, who are you trying to make a disciple of? Like, who are you interacting with on a daily basis that you need to be pointing to Jesus, like through conversation and action? And it's interesting. I had one professor in college that he said something that I remember of, like, you're always making a disciple of something, like whether it's something you're really into, like, or something that you're really passionate about. Like, you're always teaching and sharing experiences and things that you are passionate about and excited about. But it's like, what are you making disciples of? So, like, I know right now, like, a lot of people are trying to make disciples of, like, a certain political party or, like, a certain way to see medicine or a certain way to see, like, or a certain way to see race or a certain way to see, like, all, like, everybody just constantly sharing and reposting and videos and, like, the things that they talk about in their conversations, like, everybody's trying to kind of, like, convince somebody or to dispel, like, falsehoods or whatever about something that they may believe, like, in their conversations with other people. But it's just, like, if you look at the people you're around, like, what are you making a disciple of? Like, the friends you have, your kids, like, what is it that they're constantly learning about from you? Like, are they seeing Jesus? Are they seeing your love for a political party or an ideology or a recipe or just, I don't know, like, what are you modeling for people? And I think those are just good things to think through and try to, like, wade through in your mind. So I know a lot of middle schoolers that can, like, recite kind of, like, political ideologies right now better than they can explain what the gospel is. And so I would challenge, like, adults on that too.
Yeah.
So, and myself. Yeah. So that's what God's been stirring that in my heart the last couple of days. It's been good. So, but that's really all we got for now. And I hope this was encouraging. I know that it was a lot of babble, but I hope that it was fun. So we'll be back next week, and I'm excited.
We'll see you later.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.